The good. The bad. The ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain
Nutrition.
Chewing
the
Fat
podcast.
Yes, it is. Joe, Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year.
It's the second part in our How to Have an Awesome 2023. First week, we talked about the kind of the goal setting, the getting the reasons why, what and why, the big important bits, the earth movers. Now,
and my God, hang on 2 seconds. My God, if you've listened to that and you've not written something down, press stop, go back and do the things that we said, because we spent about 55 minutes. It felt like about 2 hours. Telling you to do the goal setting piece. It's just so, so important. Right.
Hang on before you get started as well. It's 48% of you still not subscribed. Subscribe so you don't miss another gem, another polished gem like this. Okay, carry on.
I just passed to you to say what we're talking about. Well, that's your life.
Nutrition. Perfect. What to eat and why. There you go. This is probably one that most people would want to start off with, but it's not. Again, we've got to get very, very clear on what we want to achieve, why we want to achieve it, and this is going to be more the how we're going to achieve it. So yes, this one's all going to be about your food choices.
Perfect. And as you say, people often kind of rush to, they want the tactics, they want the actions, but they're kind of laying the bricks of the house without digging the foundations out. And if you don't have those pieces together, then the tactics are not going to be as effective. But I think the key thing for me, first, the main point is look at what brought you here. Like, why are you listening to this? If we, you know, forget all the excuses, forget all the reasons why you eat and drink and don't exercise. But what are the food and drinks? That's the crux of this matter. And then you can start to work back from that, because no one has gained weight from, in our vast experience, this stuff. I've never started working with somebody and gone, oh my God, your sweet potato intake and the number of oranges you're eating is just so high. We need to cut back on this immediately. And people go, oh my God, Joe, I've lost 2 stone. This is unbelievable. It's always the obvious things to start with. And so people will know it is the takeaways. It's the alcohol. It's the chocolate. It's the sweets. It's the biscuits. It's the food in the staff room. It is eating too many high calorie foods. I'm sure we can be in some form of universal agreement about this now. And if not, then you're in the wrong place. You should be listening to something else. And then we need to look at why are you doing those things? Why are you eating these things? And you know, the first point that we've got, eat more, not less. Add, don't just subtract. Read James's notes expertly there. Because so often people, you know, it's so easy to listen to that first statement and go, right, well, I just won't eat crisps, chocolate and biscuits. Now, for a lot of people, that all of a sudden is going to reduce their calorie intake by about 20, 30, maybe 40, 50% on weekends. So what the hell are you going to eat? If you take food away, you're making some of the underlying problems worse. People will eat more high-calorie food when they are stressed out and when they're hungry. So if you just take these foods away without putting more in, what's going to happen? You're going to be hungrier. You're going to be craving. You're going to be stressed out because you're not having those foods. Whereas if you add food in first, if you eat, we're going to say it, if you've been a long-time listener, you might have heard this once or twice. If you add in more protein and veg and more unrefined carbs, you'll be fuller. These foods, if you look at the satiety index, you know, the list of foods that keep you the fullest, it is the foods that are high fiber, high water, high protein, protein, veg, unrefined carbs. All those things that don't break down slowly and keep your stomach fuller for longer will mean you have fewer cravings for fewer calories. You could honestly finish the podcast there and that'd be all you'd need to lose most of the weight that people want to lose. Of course.
As long as you could do that consistently.
Yeah.
Which is, again, will be the subject of another podcast, I imagine, looking at coping mechanisms. But I don't know who needs to hear this. But dieting shouldn't be, the goal shouldn't be to eat as little as possible. should be to eat as much as possible while still getting results. And that is a massive stumbling block for lots of people, and lots of people will fall at that first hurdle during January because they will try and eat nothing and then be shocked, aghast, you might even say, when they have massive cravings, their willpower flounders. Check me out with all these words. And they dive headfirst into that box of celebrations that they've tried to hide in the cupboard. So that's what we're saying is like, add more food. And we don't mean like have two packets of crisps instead of one. Add more nutrient-dense food to your meals and you will be fuller for longer. Your blood sugar will be more stable. You'll be less likely to have cravings. It'll make things so much easier. This will physiologically impact your willpower.
No, like just... Sorry, the first word of that statement, eat more, not less, is so often, you know, you see people, I can think of clients I've got who do this, where they have a shake for breakfast and then they have a small lunch and then they overeat because they're so hungry. You're just making your life so much harder than it needs to be. And I understand the convenience of the shakes. And if that works for you, that's great. But historically, when I was trying to gain weight as a teenager, I drank shakes because it was an easy way to not be full, to get more high calories in. So is that a tool that's the right tool for your current situation? If you struggle to moderate high calorie foods when you're hungry, I don't think so. You know, in my vast experience with this stuff, it doesn't work very well. And we then have to start finding, or you have to find, it's nothing to do with us, you have to find the solutions that are right for you. You have to then put those pieces into place. How can you make this easier? Can you put some berries into some yogurt the night before? Can you do some overnight oats? Can you boil some eggs? Can you do a frittata? You know, there's 1,001 different things you can do. And this is where we kind of pass the baton to you for you to do the work, because we're not going to say, go and eat this, go and eat that. We can make suggestions, we can give ideas. But there has to be that point where you take ownership of this process and those specific details, it has to work for you. And so, you know, when James is saying, eat, you know, more protein, more veg, unrefined carbs, you have to find what works for you. And as soon as you do that and you bump your food up, you increase the portions of the foods you just mentioned, the easier the process gets. And this can be something as simple as swapping from having, you know, a chicken curry with some onions and some peppers in to putting 100 grams of broccoli in. Suddenly you've got more fiber. Suddenly the meal's so much more filling. You've taken in, what, 40 more calories for 100 grams of food? That can be the deal breaker for a lot of people. That just makes the world a difference. That then stops having the cravings. That saves them 2, 3, 4. You know, if somebody eats 100 grams of chocolate on an evening, you know, that'd be pretty easy. I've definitely had large periods of my life where that, you know, I wouldn't have broken a sweat. That would have taken me a couple of minutes. That's the same weight of food with the broccoli that I just mentioned for 520 calories less. So if you've got a big appetite, if you go through those portions of food, then these are the details that will make the world a difference.
Just on a side note there, where you were saying, like, concentrate on what brings you there. And we said, you know, people are very caught up on, like, how can I do this? What do that? Really common in our group for people to go, like, what can I have as a healthy snack? And then people will be like, oh, this and this and this. Whereas, you know, I'm sure you will join me on this one, coaching hat on, you'd be like, well, why do you need to snack?
Yeah.
What are your meals like before that? Because, like you said, if you've gone into that old school shake for breakfast, soup for lunch, salad for dinner, the forefest that always follows that is starving. You know, so it's like, well, you need to have a snack because you're meals where, you know, you've eaten 500 calories up until dinner time, and then you're like, oh, and then I have really terrible cravings on evening. Well, of course you do. You know, I spoke to a lady the other day, and again, it sounds super simple, but people fall into this trap all the time. Again, going back to that, like, I'm going to eat as little as possible so I can get super, super fast results. Like, you won't, because it's like trying to sprint, you know, your 100 meter sprint time for the marathon. Like, you are going to gas out really quickly. This lady had a yogurt. I think it was like a fat-free yogurt for breakfast. She had a cup of soup for lunch. And then she's like, I get really bad cravings on evening. Of course you do. You've had 200 calories. Like, you've
eaten. You have to look at the day as a whole. Sorry to jump in, because right. So many people will say, I have a soup and I'm really full. Like, if I drink 3 liters of water right now, I'm really full too. And that's the reason soup works really well, because you have a large volume of food. You have a liquid. You know, if you imagine your stomach, I'm going to do a really bad analogy here. You know, if you've got your stomach, it's like a Tupperware, and you put in 50 mils of water and you swill it around, the outside of that Tupperware is now covered in water. So that's what happens in your stomach. And your stomach recognizes that and goes, oh, I'm full. The problem with that is because you've got a really easy to absorb substance that is very thinly coated, it will now be quickly absorbed. And this is exactly what you see with soup. So people are going, I'm really full after my soup. And then I eat loads in the evening. Like, this isn't a mystery. This is because you've had 200-300 calories of a high liquid meal. And don't get me wrong, I'm not poo-pooing soup. By all means, you know, have lots of protein, have lots of veg. I think it's a great accessible meal. The problem is how often we see that being the undoing of people because they haven't quite got it right. You know, if you have 200 grams of protein in your soup and 200 grams of, and that is like 200 grams of meat, not like 5 kilos of chicken.
I was going to say, hey, hey, hey.
And, you know, 200 grams of, you know, using fist-sized portions of potatoes or rice in your soup, that is very different to a lot of the soups that you see people, you know, cup of soup, something like that, is just like, you know, World War One rations, like enough to keep you from starving. This is not
like 50 calories. It's like drinking a cup of tea. You'll be like, oh, what you got for your lunch? A cup of tea. All right, stuffed. But yeah, you know, going on to that, we're getting very similar with the shakes, isn't it? It's like the reason why, you know, kids have baby food is because their digestive system is not fully formed. So you want to make it as easy as possible for them to digest food. How do you do that? You absolutely cook the ass out of the veg and then you blend it. Hence the soup. And I think this gets a little bit misconstrued. Like, obviously, vitamins, minerals are very important, and we want people to lose weight in a healthy way. But the purpose, or one of the benefits, I should say, of eating a ton of vegetables is it takes a long time to digest. You want it to take, you want it to stick around in your stomach for as long as possible, because when your stomach's empty, hunger signals, cravings, you know, you have to eat again. So something like a soup, again, the reason why people eat soup when they're ill, because it takes very little energy to digest it, so you can get those nutrients in. But if you imagine how long it takes to, you know, using your example of the Tupperware jar as the stomach, I thought you were going to say carrier bag, but you went with Tupperware, is there's a big surface area. The soup is touching a large surface area, and that's how it's going to get digested. If you've got big chunks of broccoli, there's very little broccoli touching the surface area. It takes longer to break down. It's more complex. It, you know, actually takes some energy to break it down as well. But again, it's going to stick around. And that's the difference between, you know, having a protein shake, again, a great source of protein, but protein shake versus, you know, 120 grams of ham, our personal favorite, or chicken, again, going to take much longer to digest, going to keep you fuller for longer, which is the aim of the game. And that's when a lot of our clients go like, I'm eating more food than I was doing before, but I'm still losing weight. How is that possible? Because the food they're eating is more nutrient dense. Again, ultimately, it always comes down to calories. But like, again, for your example, you know, whatever it was, 100 grams of broccoli versus 100 grams of chocolate are two completely different things. Even 100 calories worth of broccoli versus 100 calories of chocolate are totally different. Yeah, 100 calories, that's the energy measurement. But volume, digestion, effects on blood sugar, are totally different things. So I think we've talked about the first one for 13 minutes.
There's lots of caveats down there, but that's the well, like you say, 13 minutes is hardly a caveat, is it? But you know, there's more we can go into, but that's where to start.
Yes. So adding more. So how are we going to make sure that we add more, Joe? We're going to read the notes, Joe.
Plan.
Plan.
That's the third one. You said the first point. I thought we were going to do not a race to the bottom.
Well, the race to the bottom was the whole part of like, don't try and eat as little as possible, eat as much as possible to get results. Planning. We're big proponents of planning. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance. I missed out prior, but we got there in the end. Okay, planning. Not sexy. Not exciting. But Jesus Christ, does it work? No. And again, you know, just to caveat that with like, plans are useless, but planning is useful. Why are we such a big fan of planning is because when you sit down on a Sunday afternoon and you plan out your meals for the week, guess what? You're not tired. You're not thinking emotionally. You're not acting irrationally. You're not pissed off because Sharon at HR said something pissy to you or gave you a funny look. You're making sensible decisions that are in line with your goals. And then when you plan those meals and you get the food in, the food's in the fridge, and you're all right, I've got enough food for these meals. How much more likely is it that you are going to eat those meals instead of you relying on a totally other set of skills where you go to Asda on your way home from work, it's 7 o'clock, you're tired, you're hungry, you're in a bad mood, you're going to grab two Pizza Express pizzas, a sloppy Giuseppe, and some dough balls.
And turn it into a calzone and claim it's one pizza.
That is genius.
So yeah, have that one for free. Yeah,
absolute planning for the win.
There's nothing that I want people to do more than take the time to plan, because you're then going through the problem solving, solution finding, thought process that you don't have in the moment. You know, you see so often people going to the supermarket and it's like, what can I eat? And I remember a while ago going in and being like, you know, you've got all the raw meat and then you've got all the different pieces that can constitute a meal. You know, obviously lots of veggies too if you're a vegetarian. But it's then having the ideas, and obviously it's different now because there's more meal ideas there, but people just don't know what to do on the fly. And I think, you know, for me and you, it's so much easier because we've just done it so much. You know, like you said there, like, you know, go into a shop and I'll buy, I did it the other day, we're in Asda. You know, I can feel that point of like, oh, I feel like I might just argue with absolutely everybody within a 50 meter radius of me. Like, what could possibly be the problem? Oh, it's because I'm not starving, because I'm mildly hungry. I've not eaten in a while. And as soon as I had, you know, me and Chrissy walked home and I had 200 grams of ham. She had like two slices and I had 20. So we technically shared it. And you can just feel yourself calm down and you just, everything gets so much easier. I've then not got to eat. I'm not being snappy. We've got time to cook the meal. You're taking in 200 calories. And there's just so many options available, whether it's fruit you like, veg sticks, yogurt, packs of protein, you know, even some of the Graze products. You know, I would definitely recommend picking out the things that I said, first of all, they're not the Graze ones, but there are loads of different options in there. There's loads of ways that you can have something. Is that exactly what I want to eat all the time? No, but it's enough. It gives you that wiggle room to get through. And if, you know, just by me saying that, by me thinking ahead of time, by getting clients to do that, saying next time I'm hungry. And if you do this now, if you think, right, what am I going to do next time I'm in Tesco? Next time I'm going to go, I'm going to try that. I'm going to get a pack of ham. You are probably 50% further on than the people who don't do that, because they're just stumbling around in the dark, hoping that it's, you know, all the solutions are going to fall into their lap, and it just doesn't work. And there are so many different, there's lots of different ways it can go wrong. And then actually in reality, there's not that many different ways it can go wrong when it comes to your food. You know, if you can wake up every day and you've got some food out for the day, that makes a mass, you know, suddenly you're 80% of the way there before you've done any mindset work. If you've just got food in front of you, it makes that easier. Obviously, there's some mindset stuff in regards to actually planning and preparing and other pieces, but it just is worth its weight in gold, you know. I understand the idea that plans on their own are useless. I'm not a massive fan of that phrase, because I just think that, you know, having a food plan, I've done it with clients before. You go, right, we're just going to write your food plan today. What meals do you like? What breakfast do you like? What snacks do you like? What shops are near you? What takeaways do you like? What are the obstacles you have? Oh, you go to your mum's house. Could you take food? Blah, blah, blah. And that on its own is then something they can refer back to forever. And it takes not even half an hour to do, probably 20 minutes to look at meals, snacks, all the different obstacles you have, and then you've got this roadmap to follow. It just makes a massive difference. So yeah, if you take one thing from this, that, well, aside from eat more protein and veg, plan your food would be the next thing in line for me.
I'm going to defend my statement of plans being useless. What it means is it's like, don't expect them to follow through all the time, but having a plan in place will make it 100 times more likely that you will stick to something. You know, like you said, you're having the food out. You know, sometimes people will forget the lunch. Okay, cool, but we're not going to stick to our plan, but we've got backups. And for me, that some of the stuff you said there, thanks for clearing your throat on camera, some of the stuff there is quite reactive. And the good thing about planning is you can be super proactive with that, because so often, you know, when you speak to people, they're like, oh, this always happens on a Tuesday night. Like, well, if this always happens, let's put a plan in place for that. I remember speaking to a lady, you know, she's a single mom. She had two teenage boys. She was all over the place. And then I think I checked in over the week afterwards. We'd had a chat. She wasn't a client, just someone I was helping. And I said, how did it go? She went, oh, well, Tuesday night, we ended up getting a takeaway. I'm like, okay, well, what meal did you have planned there? A lasagna. It's like, you get in at 8 o'clock on an evening after being out for 12 hours. Why did you plan a lasagna? The thing that you have to make three different meals to make one meal. Like, why would you not just go for like a salmon prawn stir fry?
We were having a croque en bouche.
You know, it is like I was a hog roast. Like, and the pig was still alive. Like, you know, you can be as proactive. You can look at your week and see what's going on. You can go, right, well, Thursday night is always a humdinger. You know, Friday night, Friday day, Magnus is in nursery all day. When he comes back, he's absolutely frazzled. We need to get something that's really quick, or cook it on Thursday, or have something that I can throw in the slow cooker on Friday morning so it's ready. You know, be as proactive as possible. We're so good at making plans in other aspects. And I put this on the Instagram stories yesterday, like going, you know, me and Magnus went trampolining. I had snacks for him. I had a drink for him, a change of clothes, you know, this, that, blah, blah, blah. And then we totally forget about ourselves. And then you go, I went trampolining. I was really hungry. All the souls were pizzas and hot dogs. Well, of course they did. It's a trampoline park. They're not going to have, you know, high protein chicken salad there. Yeah,
chicken salad doesn't do too well in places like that.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, just look at what you're doing, what you're wanting to achieve, and then plan for that. And again, you know, be prepared to adopt those. But like you said, with the whole, you know, people so quickly fall back into routine, into habits. And again, you know, referring back to a client message, gone to McDonald's, ordered a usual Big Mac, large fries. I think you might have gone for a diet soft drink. Can't remember. Like, why did you order that? Like, you know, they sell different stuff. It's like, that's just what I always get. I didn't even think about it. It's like, okay, well, let's think now. Like, the next time you go to McDonald's, when that's the only option, or, you know, that's the option that you want to indulge in because your kids are getting it, what are you going to get? Chicken wrap. Cool. Perfect. Now we've got a plan in place for the next time we go to McDonald's. I'm going to get two chicken wraps. Awesome. Brilliant. Just that little bit of thought massively helps, Cormac.
And there's two expectations, isn't there? There's the expectation of if I have to think about what I've done in the past, then I'm going to beat myself up about it. I'm going to feel really negative. And that is completely opposite of what coaching is about. Is I just want to help assist people get into a space where they can think about their decisions and they can go, actually, next time, you know, what could I have instead of a Big Mac? And my immediate thought is have four chicken nuggets. That's what's going to cost you, what, £2? Probably slightly cheaper. And then that will be enough to tide you over going forwards. And the other expectation is like what you need ahead of time. Me and Chrissy went out for a meal yesterday. I had a really good week of food last week, you know, the post New Year, January, sticking to the process. And she said, oh, I'm going to have a meal, might have a drink and have a dessert as well. And it's in the moment, like when you're planning the future, especially high calorie food, you always plan more than you actually need. I gave this example a few weeks ago, like my perfect day of food. I could tell you it now. It'd be something like full English, fish and chips. I'd probably have a curry. I'd have some chocolate and have some booze in there as well. The reality, if I eat like that, by about 2 p.m., I'll be like, oh my God, I feel sick as a dog. Or the next day, I'll definitely feel sick as a dog. And it's so often we have these ideas of what food is going to give us, the Big Mac meal and the Diet Coke. And that's never going to, you know, four chicken nuggets, that will never fill me up. Try it. You know, I've had this experience recently with fish and chips is that historically I would always get a bigger fish and chips, or I get fish and chips and a sausage, or I get fish and chips and a mushy peas. And I was like, I'm just going to try having a normal fish and chips, normal human being sized fish and chips, and see what happens. And I finished it. I waited a couple of minutes. And I was like, oh my God, I'm full. I don't think you could have convinced me before that I'd have been full off that amount of food. And then even yesterday, we were talking about having it this week. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to have that big fish and chips. Like that habit is just so well ingrained that thought is always there. And you have to then recognize that and say, okay, is there any, and it's not, I don't kind of consciously go through this, but it's, is there any proof again that that's not true? It's like, oh yeah, hang on. I remember last time I had the fish and chips and it was fine. And so often when it comes to these things, that if you've got that plan, you know, now I've just told you my plan, normal size fish and chips. That means that when I go and I've got those temptations and those old habits kick in, they try to pull me down that higher calorie path, is I know what to do. And because I did it once, I've now got proof that I can do it again. And now, you know, it's been like three or four times. And, you know, I only realized this bloody 3 months ago. It's not like it's something that I twigged on quickly, got through an awful lot of fish and chips, you know, bigger portions than I needed. And it's just learning that your mind will come up with these stories. And it's always going to do that. That's exactly what it is. It's just a story. It's just a temptation. And you can ignore it and you can just make a different decision. And as soon as you've eaten, just never underestimate the power of how you feel differently within a couple of bites of food. We had this yesterday. We came home both in a bit of a rubbish mood. There's a pack of prawns. We had about 3 prawns each. And it was just like, I was a different person. You know, just, I think, I don't know that the depths of it, but you'd imagine that when your body's not got food and it's starting to panic a bit, that as soon as it recognizes food, you know, your heightened sense of alertness drops down. And you go, okay, right, we're not going to starve. Although to be fair, my body should know I'm not going to starve, but that's what it's wired to recognize. And so it's, these are skills for people to learn. This is a practice because you've never done it. A lot of people have never done this. They've never had that awareness. So they've never questioned a lot of their decisions. And so it can feel quite alien to do so. But on the other side of that is fat loss, happiness, moderation, control, setting a good example, health, all that good stuff.
And the only way to blast through these stories is by, as you said, you know, kind of challenging them, not just rolling over with them, just going, right, well, if I do eat those 4 chicken nuggets, oh, I was full. You know, I have that smaller, normal-sized, that OAP's portion like that, portion of fish and chips. And actually, yeah, that was bang on. And all of a sudden, that belief, that story that you told yourself that you have to have the, I definitely go for the big one, the special, is it true? You know, all right, now, yeah, this story, this belief that I've been living my life by, I know it sounds quite dramatic for fish and chips, but again, that routine of like, I always get the biggest fish and chips and I always finish it. You know, I'm a terrible plate clearer and I don't even realize I've done it most of the time until I've done it, you know, until my knife and fork goes together, done. So I've got to change that belief and go like, well, can I just leave some food and then not, you know, and still be satiated and still be full? I bet I can. I bet most of the time I'm just eating because it's there. And I feel like I've got to clear my plate, which is probably some, definitely not childhood trauma. I don't have any childhood trauma. Well, not that I remember. So who knows? But yes, moving on. So control over restriction, the whole don't think about a pink elephant. Now I'm thinking about a pink elephant is again, another common pitfall. Like how do you want to, I suppose, before I say this, there's that idea, isn't there? Like, if you can't see yourself eating like this in 6 months' time, then this is not a sustainable diet. It's a short-term fix. It's a blast. Which, ironically, you know, 6 months is our coaching plan time. So there you go. But I want my clients to be able to control, to moderate those high-calorie choices, not just to go, oh, I'm not going to have them. I remember I gave up chocolate for Lent once, which is about 20 times longer than I thought it was. I don't know why I thought Lent was like 10 days or something. It's not.
It's not a weekend.
40 days is a long time. 40 days and nights, I might add, but I did it. And then I just could not wait to eat as much chocolate as I could possibly do. I think I ate loads of chocolate until I felt sick. I think Tanya spelt out in chocolate bars, well done, on the floor. And I think I probably
well ate. Done, James Walker. Like, oh my yeah, gosh.
But all there was less was a W. You learn to moderate these things. And again, you know, a lot of clients that we work with, probably people that listen to this, have a terrible relationship with food. If you see food as good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, then you've got to start questioning your relationship with food. Because when you're trying to be, air brackets, I don't know why I do this, just for your sake, Joe, air quotes, healthy, and then you have something that you deem as, air quotes, unhealthy, then you have broken your diet, everything has gone to shit. Well, I might as well just let the floodgates open and dive headfirst into that box of celebrations that I mentioned earlier. If you see food as food, you can improve your relationship, you know, give yourself permission to have these things. That doesn't mean that you eat a pizza every single day, you know, have something sensible, but like having, you know, speaking to a client earlier, allowing yourself to have 5 Ferrero Rocher a week, it's really sensible. You might not even have all 5, you might end up having 3, But you take that sting out, you take that guilt out of it, that becomes part of your plan. It becomes part of you being consistent. Well, I allowed myself 5, only had 4. Brilliant, I stuck to my plan. Instead of that same person going, I can't eat any chocolate. I've eaten 3 4-hour rush. I've ruined it. I've failed. I'm such a failure. I'm so weak. I need to get better. Like, no, this is about longevity. This is about gaining control of those food choices instead of those food choices controlling you.
And there's definitely something in here about learning what you really enjoy. There's a lady I'm working with at the moment, and for a period of time, she's having, there'll be a lot of people listening to this thinking, that's me. But it's, you know, it's you and a lot of other clients having lots of little pieces and then saying, you know what, I really enjoy a chocolate dessert. Like, but you're having 2 bits of toast every day with your omelet. You're having a couple of chocolate biscuits. You're having a glass of wine most days. And then you're having 4 chocolate puddings. So we're not talking about taking out the chocolate puddings. We're talking about taking out all the extras. We're also talking about, do you need to have these things every day? You know, from my experience of when I have those times when I'll eat more high calorie food, you know, having just come through Christmas and New Year, the more awareness you bring to this, the more you recognize it. Is that by like the 3rd day of eating high calorie food, I was like, I'm not enjoying this half as much as when I have it less often. You know, I said, went out for a meal yesterday. I had most of last week being really consistent, being what I term on plan, as much as I know some people don't like that term. And the food I had was then like incredible, because I hadn't had some deep fried chips. I hadn't had a pint of cider. I hadn't had some chocolate, you know, in a week. So that pleasure that came from that meal didn't just come from me having that over the course of half an hour. It came over the course of 7 days. So I hadn't had anything. And then it's really good. You know, you're more sensitive to those things. Whereas if you have it every single day, is it just that you're telling yourself that it's good, or are you really enjoying it? And I would recommend that you have that period of abstinence. You have a couple of days without these things and then have it and see if it tastes any different. Because it's, you know, the same as anything. You build up that resistance to it. You lose that sensitivity to it. If you eat chocolate every day, you're probably not going to enjoy it as much if you have it less often. And so that, and then ironically, that's what people want, is they want to have that ability to control it. You know, it's all well and good. It's always going to be this balance. And, it's difficult for us sometimes to tailor this, because you don't know who's listening to it. Is there some people who are losing weight and then will castigate themselves for their high calorie decisions, and other people who are not losing weight, and then they'll say, well, it's got to be maintainable. It's got to be sustainable. You can't have everything. You can't have the results you want and be able to eat everything that you want all the time. You have to be willing to pull back in certain areas and to have some restriction. Doesn't mean you can't ever have the things that you want, but I'm not going to say probably, you're going to have them less than you did before. You know, for me, 10 weeks ago, 8 kilos heavier, I had to make changes in order to lose that 8 kilos. You know, was there a level of restriction in that moment? Yeah, absolutely. There are less peaks of pleasure from food in my life now than there were 10 weeks ago. But it's definitely worth it, because I'm 8 kilos lighter. I'm still able to have some high calorie food. I've now got that control over food that I want. I get more pleasure from that food when I do have it. It saves me money. All depends on how you look at these things. If you go into this thinking, I can't have this, or I really want to eat that food, then you've got an uphill battle. Whereas if you go back to the goal setting, if you make it easy, if you plan these things in, if you give yourself permission to eat these foods and you mindfully enjoy it, tied the whole podcast together, check that out, then you'll get everything that you want. You'll still have those foods and you'll have the results that you want as well.
But again, you know, not wanting to make this into a mindset podcast, it's about testing those things. Like you said, you know, if you're so used to eating chocolate every day or doing this and doing that, then you've got to go, right, well, today I'm not going to have any chocolate, and I'm going to see tomorrow if my life has massively been hindered, if it's gone downhill from me not eating that chocolate. Because again, it's about testing those beliefs. And, you know, I like an analogy, Joe, and talking about you saying that having those pleasure spikes fewer makes you appreciate them more. I've got an old Seat Ibiza. It's a metallic brown, delicious. And it's fine. It functions as a carb. If someone gave me like I don't know why I pick cars because I'm terrible with cars, but like a Land Rover or something, I'd be like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's so comfy. It's like driving a sofa. Look how high I am. Look at this. I've got heated seats and blah, 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 and all this stuff. It'd be a real novelty if I drove that once a month. If you gave me that as my car, how quickly would that shine wear off? It'd just be my car. I just get into it. Like, yeah, it's my car. So I drive to work and to your house, you know, that, and that's it. And it just becomes a norm. Whereas if I go back to like once a month, wow, this is amazing. This is such a pleasure to drive it. It makes you appreciate these things more. So again, it's going to be a bit of testing these beliefs, and the way we generally work it with clients is go, okay, well, what do you think you need to have? How much do you think you need to have enjoyed that for it to be pleasurable? And how often do you need to have it? And that way you can work out. And if it is every day, probably not. I mean, I will eat probably about 20, 25 grams of chocolate every single day. I don't need to. And if, you know, like maximum fat loss was a massive goal for me, I could definitely cut back on that and I could get away with having it 2-3 times a week, I reckon. I could easily do that. It'd still be something to look forward to. It is much more of a habit for me. But if I was going to test those beliefs, I definitely don't need to have it every single day to enjoy it. You know, easy stuff.
Tie that into a bit of content you put out the other day then. What is it that's brought you to the place where you are a couple of kilos heavier than you were?
A bit of mindless eating and just not monitoring my own progress, I suppose, not facing reality.
Well, what are the foods then that have stopped you? What are the foods that have led to you gaining that weight?
Oh, definitely sweet stuff.
Okay. So more than 25 grams of chocolate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. But, so you can keep that in then, can't you, and still make progress?
Well, I am doing. Watch me, Joe. Watch me. Watch this space. But I think just, I remembered, I wrote into the notes kind of one top tip that I'd say that probably should have tied in right at the start is when you're eating your meals, eat your protein first, then eat your vegetables, and then finish with your carbohydrates, which falls into that eat more, not less. Joe's example was, you know, if you have a curry or a spaghetti bolognese, I like to use, in fact, again, this is another one I put in my stories yesterday, have 100 grams of broccoli with it. Eat your protein, eat your broccoli, or eat your broccoli first. I don't eat broccoli because I really enjoy it. I eat broccoli because it's really, really filling. And I've made chili and rice, and I've put in 100 grams of broccoli, ironically. I'll eat the broccoli first, and then I've got chili and rice, which I do enjoy. But without that chili and rice, then my meal's 100 grams lighter. So 100 grams smaller. And again, if you're having your spaghetti bolognese, whatever, you eat 100 grams of food, then you eat your bolognese, maybe some of your pasta, and then you're less likely to need to eat all that pasta. It's just, again, it's a physiological trick that will help you cut calories. It's prioritizing your protein first, then your vegetables, and then finish with carbohydrates. Don't eat all your carbs first.
Or if you're a massive wuss like me and you don't like the taste of veg, then mix it all together so you don't really notice it. That's pretty much been like the defining rule of me eating more veg over the past, you know, since I finished uni and didn't eat any veg to where I am now, and I have it 4 meals a day, because I would never have almost never have a mouthful of just veg. I'd always hide it and package it away because I'm a massive wuss. But it works.
It works. In the nicest possible way, you don't have to enjoy it. It doesn't have to be a taste sensation. It has to do a job, and then you can enjoy the rest of your meal. That's it. I think we're done here, Joe. We done?
Yes.
Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a review. We might have a look, see what you say. Share it. Share it with someone who'll need some help. And if you've got any ideas, you've got any questions, feel free to drop us an email. Catch us on Facebook, catch us on Instagram, wherever you follow us. Stay tuned for the next installment of How to Have an Awesome 2023.